And now the opinion page. The final whistle at the Super Bowl last night ended the NFL season, and more than a few commentators suggest the next football game ought to be played under new rules to greatly reduce the violence of the sport. Blown knees and dislocated shoulders are bad enough, but recent reports focus on the dangers of concussion that can lead to dementia and early death. Daily Beast sports columnist Buzz Bissinger argues we need to accept the game as it is or get rid of it altogether. Can football be football without all the violence? 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Buzz Bissinger joins us now from a studio in Philadelphia. He's, of course, the Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, the author of Friday Night Lights, and his column, NFL Playoffs, Why Football Needs Violence, ran in the Daily Beast last month. Nice to have you back on the program today.
Hey, thank you.
And I have to point out, you could have been found in the other camp before.
Well, you know, I think I could have and probably was. But, you know, it was during the playoffs. I forget which weekend. It was actually the first weekend, and there were two just totally, you know, smash-mouth games, in particular when the Steelers played the Baltimore Ravens. And that, to me, was, you know, they hated each other. It was gritty. It was in the dirt. They were going after each other. And that is football to me, and I loved it. And I realized that football is a celebration of violence. It is violence. You don't want wish that anyone gets hurt, but if you legislate violence out of the game, as I think they're trying to do, you will not have football. And if you're that concerned, then you got to ban it.
You say, you never want anybody, any injuries to happen. Injuries are quite predictable. It's going to happen. And indeed, all of the research, and you cite some of it in your piece, all the research suggests this leads to early death.
Well, there are studies that say it leads to early death. However, and I did cite them, I'm not sure whether you can ever prove that someone actually committed suicide because of getting a lot of hits to the head, because suicide is such an individual private act. But there are cases. Andre Waters was one. He committed suicide at a very early age. When they looked at his brain, it had significantly atrophied. But even with the rules that you have now, Neil, with no helmet-to-helmet hits, you're still getting concussions. There was a horrific concussion when the Seattle Seahawks played the Bears, and it was a beautiful hit. The defensive back cut off John Carlson at the knees, a tight end. He was trying to leapfrog over him, and his head hit the freezing turf in Chicago, and he got a concussion. Now, you know, did I feel bad for him? Frankly, no. I'm glad he didn't break his neck, but it was an absolutely beautiful play. And if you talk to football players, there was just a recent article in GQ. To a person, they say this is part of the game. This is an occupational hazard like working in a coal mine. And this is the way we're trained to play. And this is the way we want to play. And frankly, this is the way fans want football players to play.
And yet they know the case of people like Daryl Stingley, who's paralyzed from the neck down after what some might call a beautiful hit.
It was a beautiful hit, but you're not going to get that out of any game. You know, look, the National Hockey League is put in many more strict rules about concussions, about illegal hits. And you know what? Concussions went up. You're not going to get them out. If you get rid of helmet-to-helmet hits, you're not going to get them out. If you fine players, you're not going to get them out. Maybe you can suspend players, but that has to be part of the collective bargaining agreement, and that will never, ever go through. But the basic point is it is a violent game. It isn't rugby. It isn't soccer. It isn't Australian rules football. You know, you've been to a football game. You see what a crowd is like when the quarterback is sacked and they've lessened that. You see what it's like when someone puts a, you know, smash mouth hit on someone. This is why we like it. There can be moments of absolute grace, but it's in the trenches. It's the tackles. It's James Harrison of the Steelers, you know, ramming someone into the ground, or Ray Lewis of the Baltimore Ravens. That's what we crave, and that's why we watch it, and it is distinctly American, whether that's right or whether that's wrong.
It is, in a sense, like the sport of boxing, where one man sets out to, well, knock the other senseless.
Well, that certainly is the way these guys are trained to play. Now, you know, they are trying. There are now rules about helmet-to-helmet hits. You can be fined. There are better rules about concussions. If a player has any symptoms of a concussion, he is now taken out of the game and misses the next game. Reported concussions went up, whether they're being reported better or concussions are going up. Who knows? But these guys are trained to hurt you. I mean, look at these defensive backs. They're like bullets. They're incredible. And they are trained to hurt you. And I know, Chris Nowinski, who's sort of the expert on this, says, well, the thing to do is to sort of limit hitting in practice. Well, actually, during the season, they don't do a lot of hitting. But during the preseason, they do a lot of hitting because you got to see if you can take the hit. You got to see who's going to make the team and not make the team. And new research has shown, although it's very wobbly, it's on the basis of one young player from University of Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Now it's repetitive hits that are causing, brain problems. Well, Neil, if that's the case, ban it like Teddy Roosevelt did in the 1900s.
Well, your friend and ours, Alan Schwartz of the New York Times, has been doing the bulk of the reporting on this based on research done at Boston University. And the amount of, the arthritis, the crippling of players in later life is documented, as you suggest. The number of cases of dementia appear to be documented as well. And are you going to be surprised if just more and more evidence comes out to this effect?
No, I'm not going to be surprised at all. And I don't know what can be done about it. I mean, you make a good point. We're now focused on concussions. I mean, arthritis has been a hideous problem for years. And frankly, any parent who lets their kid play football and then throws their arms up and says, my God, I didn't know the risk, that's foolish. If the point of the game is for player A with a helmet to try to hit as fast as he can, player B with a helmet who is running at player A as fast as he can, and they collide, it's going to be a bad thing. It is a brutal game, and I think we're going to really face the choice. And we may have faced it because I think for high schools now, the insurance costs are going to be off the charts. And I'm not going to be surprised if high schools drop the game. They're trying to invent new helmets, better helmets, but the cost of those is going to be prohibitive. And if you water it down, if you keep getting rid of rules, the hit's got to be less, it ain't going to be football.
Our guest is Buzz Bissinger. Can football be football without the violence? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Jason calling us from Cambridge in Massachusetts.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead, please.
Football can be football and hockey can be hockey with teams playing skillfully in order to win. The violence, I believe, is a detraction that fans are bloodthirsty enough to go to games to see the hits and to see other people fall is a sickness of the culture and has nothing to do with the game itself. I wonder if the host of this program has played competitive sports, gotten injured, and or had a concussion. I've had 8 concussions not related to team sports, and I can tell you that the consequences can be life-altering, far short of suicide.
Buzz Bissinger?
I've played competitive sports. I played football in high school. I stopped because I didn't like getting hurt. This idea, I think you're really talking about fights in hockey. Football is inherently violent. I mean, don't tell me that it isn't. Don't tell me that a 270-pound defensive lineman who can run a 4.7 40 is trying to do whatever he can to get through an offensive lineman who weighs 315 pounds and is then trying to get the quarterback so he can knock him to the ground. That's inherent violence. Don't tell me it's inherent violence when there are 3 or 4 defensive backs trying to claw a running back to the ground. It has moments of great art, particularly the receivers. It is not an artful game. It is a brutal game. It is a machismo game. It's why it's so popular in Texas. It's why it's so popular in this country, because we like the violence. And you know what? Concussions are an occupational hazard, and the answer is easy. If you don't want to get concussions, don't play.
Jason, thanks very much for the call. Here's an email from Michael in Boulder, Colorado. A significant number of injuries are due to hits. Injury statistics for rugby football are quite a bit lower than for American football. How would the game be adversely affected if the rules were to revert to rugby rules, where American football came from, which required that a player wrap on a tackle rather than just hitting the target player?
Because then you have rugby, and I don't think we want rugby. And I've heard the argument, that frankly, you're better off not wearing a helmet. That's not the way we play football. part of the way that football is special in America, whether you like it or not, is the way they look. They're helmeted. They're gladiated, and we don't want rugby. We want people, frankly, to knock people out. This is what players say. My goal is to knock that player out. My goal is to put fear into that player. When he gets his bell rung, he does not want to go near me, and I don't care what fans say. That's why we like it. It is not ballet. It isn't. It is a quarterback in the midst of swirling, violent, mano-a-mano chaos, somehow throwing the ball to a receiver with the possibility that those assassin defensive backs will nail him. And one of the players in the GQ story pointed out something really right. He says, the other problem now is, and I've seen this, defensive backs are going to go for the legs. So all that is going to do is increase arthritis. And as someone said, Alzheimer's is terrible. But take a look at Earl Campbell, the great Earl Campbell, the Houston Oilers, who has to walk with two canes. So what's worse?
We're talking with Buzz Bissinger, the author of, among other books, Friday Night Lights and Three Nights in August. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Buzz, you mentioned the word. So does John in Kansas City. He emails, you would have loved the old Roman gladiatorial combats.
Yeah, I probably would have. Certainly the Romans liked them. I mean, the only thing missing in football, and it has happened occasionally, is that no one's gotten killed. But, you know, folks, really, this Pollyannish stuff that, oh, I like football because it's grace, because it's beauty, because it's speed. Not true. Soccer is grace, beauty, speed, and stamina. Soccer is a gorgeous game. I love watching the World Cup. I think what those athletes do is incredible. Soccer in America, it's not very popular. It's popular at the youth level. Look at football. 8 of the 10 top-rated shows last year were football games. And folks, we're not watching, as I say, because it's ballet. It is the inherent violence that we like. You see how crowds are when there is a hit. You know, when he puts a sting on somebody, you know, we rise up. And it is our version of the gladiators, you know, without the Lions having a tremendous advantage, particularly the Detroit Lions.
Well, for the joke, we'll let you get away with that. The analogy, the Lions didn't actually play in the gladiatorial games. But anyway, Pam joins us from San Francisco.
Hi, I have a son and a stepson playing college ball, and I was against it before. I knew I wasn't going to win the battle because they loved it so much, but as I sat through so many Friday nights and Saturday afternoons, I started to see the finesse and the skills, that it's not just hitting. There's strategy, there's skills, and the team camaraderie. There's a lot of benefits that you're kind of overlooking, not to mention in poor areas where the football team helps kids stay in school.
And you make good points, Pam, but would you be surprised if you got a call one day or you were there and saw your son carried off on a stretcher?
Well, you know, I thought about that, especially when they were younger. It hasn't happened yet. My youngest son is a quarterback on a college team, and I guess I've been in denial that it won't happen. So far, he's been lucky.
And maybe he's got a good line, too, so that always helps.
Yeah, right. But I think you shouldn't overlook all the good parts of it, and if they did change how people hit and reduce that somehow, that would be wonderful. But don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Football is a good sport, and it's
I agree. I love benefit. Football. I love football, yeah. And you mentioned good points about it. But I love football because it is I think fundamentally, intrinsically, and you know, I wrote a book where I watched the team intimately for a year, a high school team, and I see a lot of wonderful things about it, but it is inherently violent, and that's why I like it. You can have all the strategy in the world, but, you know, that the center hikes the ball to the quarterback, and it is chaos, and there are, you know, separate violent battles all over the field. I mean, just look at any play.
Pam? Yeah, but look at, I mean, if you watched the Super Bowl yesterday, the most exciting part's when they threw a really good pass and it was caught. And to me, I used to see the hitting because I didn't know football. And then I started to see all the strategy and understand the rules. And then when I saw a good pass,
I know that. But hitting is such an intrinsic part of the game. Even if I agree, and in the Super Bowl, were there any great hits? No. But hitting is still an intrinsic part of the game. I mean, Woodson broke his collarbone. You know, Donald Driver went out. Did anyone have concussions? I don't think so. But it's the hitting is intrinsic to the game. It isn't flag football. I mean, it isn't touch football. Yeah, the receivers were wonderful, but, you know, some of them got, you know, belted up. I think that's why Driver got out of the game. You know, these defensive backs, you know, hit like crazy. There was one play where they thought was helmet to helmet. It was a vicious hit, you know, but it wasn't. And it doesn't even have to be hitting. I mean, just look at the way the defensive line and the offensive line, look at how they match up. Look at how they're trying to kill each other. I mean, look at Mendenhall, the running back yesterday. I don't know how that guy gets up in the morning, and I probably doesn't, and he probably has to do it with the aid of painkillers. And you know what? I say that's his problem because I loved watching him play.
Pam, we wish your son the best of luck.
Oh, thank you.
Appreciate the phone call. And Buzz Bissinger, as always, thanks for your time.
Neil, my pleasure.
Buzz Bissinger is a columnist for The Daily Beast. There's a link to his piece, Why NFL Football Needs Violence, at our website at npr.org. Just click on Talk of the Nation. Tomorrow, there's little question about what happened in Tucson last month. Dozens of people saw the shooting, but the suspect's lawyer is still working on the case. We'll talk about the challenges of defending the indefensible. Join us for that. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.